Welcome to Benign with B10. I'm your host, Gabe Carey, along with James Cameron Patrick Daly.
Woohoo! Dice McCallison's a prick! Woohoo!
At your daily dosage, Patrick Toorfe.
Hey, everyone.
At Justice Soltuna.
Thank you.
And Dan Isaacson, who is our first time guest on the show.
Right here.
And what is your Twitter handle, Dan?
Oh, Chocolate Rumble. Because you can't get enough of that chocolate cream.
Oh, hell no. So, today we're going to talk about our anticipated 2015 games. And what those games mean to us and why we're excited for them. Who wants to start? Because I'm not doing it.
Metal Gear Solid V, Phantom Pain.
Nice.
I have to check what's coming out next year.
Care to expand on that, James? Care to expand on that?
I'm pretty sure that's coming out next year.
It is coming out next year.
Yeah. When's Halo 5 Guardians coming out? Yeah.
Same next year as well.
Oh, Nintendo, hang on, what's the other one? Shit. Yoshi's Woolly World. That surely is going to be adorable.
That's I forgot adorable. All about that until right now.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game as well. Yeah.
It's going to be cute as hell. I'm also just going to go on record and guess there's a Dragon Ball game coming out next year.
Oh, I hope that's good.
There probably is one. Is there actually one coming out? I was just guessing.
Anyway, yeah, it really is. It's Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
I'm going to Google it. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain, like the other Metal Gear Solid 5.
Forgetting all these games are coming out next year. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know what I did, Gabe? I looked it up and made a list.
I'm looking at it right now.
Fucking breaking all sense of illusion, Patrick.
I fucking Googled it!
My brain ain't a database.
No, because when you mentioned the topic, I was like, okay, so what do I want next year? Halo 5, Batman Arkham Knight? Wait, is that all that's coming out? No way. Okay, Google.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of these games I want.
I think the Phantom Pain is going to be pretty awesome, though. Like, I really enjoyed Ground Zeroes.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm yet to play Ground Zeroes. I'm sure I'm going to get it when it's even cheaper than it is.
I haven't played Ground Zeroes, but I watched someone play all the way through it the other day, and it looked interesting. So I pretty much get the gist of like how it's played and everything, and it looks like a lot of fun.
I think one thing I like about it is Kojima. Yeah, Kojima made the right decision. Like, he wasn't stubborn, and he made it so Metal Gear that it doesn't feel new and fresh. Like, he took on board modern stealth mechanics and he made it work. Like, he didn't just say, no, I'll just make my game how I want, who cares how awkward and clunky and old it feels. No, he actually made it new, which is good.
Yeah, that's good.
If we're gonna say who goes first, I'll just list off the stuff and give brief reasons as to why I'm looking forward to it, and obviously we can just talk about the rest later on. I guess top five games I'm looking forward to in 2015, I guess. The first is Rainbow Six Siege, which was obviously a surprise announcement from this year's E3. I was really looking forward to Rainbow Six Patriots, which was supposed to be, like, the next step in, like, the storyline, but that got canned down the line after we saw one presentation. I think it was either E3 or Gamescom, which was, like, over 2 years ago, and then we never heard from it again. But Siege, as we saw at E3, is just, like, it's multiplayer, and it's, like, it has, like, proper detailed destruction, a bit like Black on PS2, but, like, two generations later. And I think that looks really cool. The next one is Quantum Break, because I'm a big fan of Remedy games, as in Remedy made Max Payne and Alan Wake. So this one looks cool. Obviously, the whole idea of, like, time and, like, bullet mechanics, that's not really new, but I think the game looks sleek, and it looks pretty, you know, nice on Xbox One, so I think I'm looking forward to that. Next game is Batman Arkham Knight, which I mentioned already, which was supposed to be this year. It was supposed to be October, and it was supposed to be this month, but then they pushed it back to, like, June 2015, which is ridiculous. But I'm definitely... It's Batman. Everybody knows Batman. I have to explain it. number two is... number two on my list is Halo 5. Halo 5 Guardians, which... It's like... Obviously, they finally announced it, gave it a name. We've seen some gameplay. The beta is going to be in December, so I can't wait to see that. It's going to be part of the Master Chief Collection, so that'd be fun. And obviously, I'm just hyped to see where the story goes next. And finally, the game I'm definitely looking forward to the most is The Division, because it's like it's really ambitious. It's nice to see that they're trying to do something with the whole open world MMO thing, And it's this time, it's like a third-person shooter with a Tom Clancy-esque deal to it. You know, it's done a good job so far. Like, the graphics are cool, the gameplay looks solid, the story seems interesting, especially that story trailer from E3. Anyway, honorable mentions for me for, like, in terms of anticipated games are Metal Gear Solid 5, Scalebound, PT, Mortal Kombat 10, and apparently Smite on Xbox One.
Smite on Xbox One?
Yeah. That's coming out next year, apparently.
That sounds kind of cool. I'm not bored out the Batman games at all, but that's because I didn't really like Batman City and, you know, Arkham fucking, you know, City game. I didn't really care about that. And plus, the new Lord of the Rings and Shadow of Mordor just does the combat mechanics way better than the Batman games. And I prefer the sort of fantasy story to it anyway.
It's funny you mentioned that. You know what I think is interesting? Like,
go on, Patrick.
Isn't it funny how two of this year's highest rated games that are kind of neck and neck for Game of the Year, i.e. Bayonetta 2 and Shadow of Mordor, isn't it funny how both these games are super unoriginal? Like,
oh, yeah.
Bayonetta 2 is the sequel to Bayonetta, which plays like Devil May Cry, and Shadow of Mordor is Batman. Like, I just find that funny.
Well, gamers as like a group, we don't tend to, we tend to be quite harsh, and we don't really reward new ideas straight away. There tends to be a small clique of gamers who reward new ideas, and then it spreads out and sort of filters into public domain from there. Now look at me, for instance. Yeah, I'm a big Legend of Zelda fan, and I'll always liken a Zelda game to the one before it. And if it's similar in the right way, then I'm like, yeah, it's obviously fantastic. 10 out of 10, just because it's like the last one. it's just how I am. It's like, Skyward Sword. Like, this game is quite different, but it's still Link. Best game. Oh, game of the year. Best game.
Yep. Wait, have you played?
Best game.
Have you played, or are you planning to play, I was about to say Skyward Sword, Jesus Christ. Hyrule Warriors, like, or whatever.
Yeah, I will probably finally get myself a Wii U, probably around Christmas time, and Hyrule Warriors is the game that's pushed me into, okay, I have to get it now. Yeah. Just because I'm not really a fan of beat-em-up games and melee games, but I would call Shadow of Mordor sort of a beat-em-up melee game, but I'm quite a big fan of the idea of making Zelda more accessible, and the idea, so far, it's doing pretty well. So, I can't not be interested in that. Especially as, you know, you get to play as characters you've always wanted to play as.
Yeah, true. That's right. Like, there's a ton of fan service, definitely.
Exactly. Like, hey, I get to play as Zelda, and it's not Smash Bros. This is brilliant. I'm going to play as Zelda. Goodbye.
Oh, wait, by the way, so are you only excited for Halo 5, nothing else?
No, generally I'm really excited for Metal Gear Solid.
Oh yeah, Metal Gear Solid Derp. Yeah, you mentioned that.
And Yoshi's Woolly World has my interest a lot because it reminds me of so many of the platformers that Nintendo are sort of working on, but that he did work on for the Wii, working on for the Wii U. But something about that game just caters to my heart a little bit. Little woolen Yoshi, he's just so cute, just the way he's walking around, you know, his little booties on and a cute little face. And I don't know, I'm just a big baby at heart, I guess. But Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, if it's anything like, you know, I'm expecting the story elements of Metal Gear Solid 4 and the playing style of Ground Zeroes, which to me does spark a good...
True. It certainly looks deeper than Ground Zeroes as well. Like, I'm not sure if you watch any of, like, the gameplay, like the 20-minute gameplay from TGS. That showed a lot. But, like, what I like about it didn't just give us everything. It kind of showed us, like, this is what you can do, but there is more. And I think that's what makes it so exciting, that it feels like classic MGS, but it has a lot of new and interesting features. You know, it feels cohesive, and I think that's what makes it so exciting, because we're going to see a lot of different things happen. Plus, I don't know, like, do you remember the E3 trailer from, like, last year? That was crazy. That was so out there. Like, remember when we didn't know it was called MGS5? It was just called The Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
And it was that weird, like, trailer where, like, it's like we were caught in a fever dream, and there was, like, flaming horse and like a whale and he was like in the hospital. Like, that whole trailer was bizarre. I'm sure we're gonna see some of that. Classic Kojima.
Yeah, like what he did with PT as well, kind of.
Aha, yes, PT, that's another one. That's why I said honorable mention, because I think that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm not a big horror fan, but it looks interesting for sure.
Alright, so what about you, Gabe? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I just looked at the list. I'm excited for Final Fantasy Type Zero. I think above all right now, because it's coming with the, you know, the 15 beta.
The 15 demo.
Plus, back when, so this game has a long history of delays.
It does.
And back when it was Final Fantasy, I don't know how it's pronounced, I guess, Agito?
Agito, yeah.
13. I was really looking forward to this game on the PSP. And I think it was announced in like 2006 or something. And it never released in the United States. Never released anywhere outside of Japan, I don't think. But this was a game I was really looking forward to. I was playing Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection at the time, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm ready for this now. I want to try something new that, you know, isn't classic Final Fantasy, but something you know, more in my generation, I guess. And the game never came out, and I've been looking forward to it ever since. And then when they finally announced the HD version, I was like, wow, this is finally happening here. So I'm really looking forward to that game. I'm looking forward to the beta as well. Quantum Break is something I'm looking forward to as well. That game looks pretty fantastic. The Xbox One is, like, the whole future of the Xbox One is looking really bright right now. And I really liked Alan Wake.
Alan Wake is surprisingly underrated.
But, yeah, I haven't completed it yet, but, you know, I'm going to before this comes out, for sure. I enjoyed what I played. It was just other things were out at the time. Then Scream Ride, which hasn't got any real coverage. That's basically just another Roller Coaster Tycoon game, except the goal is to kill people with your rides.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, really awesome looking game for the Xbox One. Yeah, it's, you know, pretty violent, but it's tasteful.
Tasteful violence.
In what ways do you kill your passengers? Do you, like, just, you know, abruptly end the rail, or?
Yeah, it's kind of like Thrillville off the rails, except it looks better.
That game is like a simulator for everyone's nightmare fuel. Yeah. Like theme parks.
Yeah, that's why I'm deathly afraid of theme parks. I don't even like theme parks, but I always love the Roller Coaster Tycoon games. Persona 5 is also coming out next year.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah.
That's between that and Uncharted, those are my two most anticipated PlayStation 4 games next year. And that wraps up my list with Uncharted, which is, between that and Type-0, those are my two most anticipated games of next year. Really looking forward to those. Uncharted is that game that, for me, it could do exactly the same thing that the other three or four did. And,
did for the PS3.
Yeah, for the PS3, and I'm okay with that. That's great.
Now that you mention it, I kind of underestimate how powerful Uncharted is as an IP. Like, yeah. I don't know, this whole time I'm like, Uncharted 4, yeah, that's cool, yeah, it's cool. But then I'm like, wait a minute, it's Uncharted. This game's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, and on the PS4, this game could be amazing. Like, it could be one of the best.
From the stuff they've shown in Engine, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I know graphics aren't everything, but...
I'm not expecting that to be real gameplay footage, though. I'm expecting that to be the cutscenes and then...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I just have to wonder, though, that, like, obviously Uncharted still does it well, but the new Tomb Raider had a lot of great ideas. I want to see how Uncharted can stack on top of that, because, like, Uncharted, if Tomb Raider never came out, Uncharted 4 could have just been whatever, and we would have accepted it, but Tomb Raider took what Uncharted did and expanded on it. I want to see what Uncharted does next.
Yeah, Tomb Raider's coming out next year, too.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Looking forward to that as well.
Exactly. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider, that caused some controversy.
Yeah, when I saw that trailer,
everyone forgot about it.
Yeah, but when I saw the trailer the first time, I was all like, oh, look, it's Alice in Wonderland. Oh, wait.
No, that's not Alice.
Rise of the Tomb Raider going to be exciting, I think. Yeah. But yeah, Uncharted 4, you're right. Like, Uncharted 4 is going to be something else.
Yeah. I think it's really going to push the PS4 sales, especially since right now there's really not that much exclusive to the system that's worth buying it for.
But I think I'm expecting something special from Uncharted 4. Like, I don't think it's going to be the standard Uncharted. Not just the actual story, but I'm expecting some kind of new element that will, you know, expand on the gameplay elements as well.
I don't imagine it's going to be like Tomb Raider in the terms of like survival or whatever, because that's not really what Uncharted's like. I mean, Uncharted's more like Indiana Jones. It's not really like sort of gritty and deep like Tomb Raider is. It's meant to be more like fun and kind of like blockbuster movie-ish. But yeah. I think they can do something interesting with that. Yeah. So I'll be interested to see how, because Uncharted 3, despite that one bit with the desert, I think Uncharted 3 is probably one of the best games ever created. Like, it's just really good.
What? You didn't like the bit with the desert? That's my favorite part of the game.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's my favorite part. I love that.
Thematically, so cinematically, that's kind of cool, but other than that, it's like, why am I doing this?
That's so why I liked it. It was the cinematic effect. But when I said that I would be content with Uncharted 4 being more of the same, I am totally welcome to new stuff implemented as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been fine with it too.
Yeah,
I like never played an Uncharted game.
You should.
Yeah.
You shouldn't
every time I see one, like, I may be alone in this, but every time I see an Uncharted game, it strikes me as, they swapped the main character for a human this time, but it just looks like an HD version of Crash Bandicoot. That's what I think whenever I see it. I'm like, this is what Crash Bandicoot would look like now.
It really is with unique guns. To Crash. It's not like it. You'd be surprised how unlike Crash it is.
Yeah.
No, I think even though I've never played it, I must be right. So.
fair enough, James. Okay.
All I see in front of me is Nathan Drake going all like, and then like spinning really fast.
I'm gonna see him like falling. In another disaster. He's like falling off a fucking. You know, like falling off a bridge, surrounded by apples that are falling, and then just like, you know, that woman calls him and says, "Bumbaga," and then he's fine.
Oh my god.
That's the thing, right? That would happen.
Yeah,
probably.
Oh my god, I was playing Crash Bandicoot last night.
Really?
Great. Yeah, it was.
Great.
Wow, that's hilarious. I mean, admittedly, I wish I could, like, buy the Uncharted. I only played them because my friend had them. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many PS3 games I want to play. In fact, funnily enough, the reason why I forgot about, like, Uncharted and stuff is because I have it in mind to get an Xbox One or the PS4, so I'm not counting, like, games. Otherwise, I would have mentioned, like, obviously Persona, like yourself, Uncharted. Then there's also this Guilty Gear coming out in December, but obviously I can't get that because it's not going to be in either of the Xboxes, which makes me mad.
Do you have a PS3?
No, I don't have a PS3.
Okay. I was just wondering. Also, let's see. What do you guys... What was the game? Crap. Keep talking.
I can't
find it now.
Like, Pathologic is coming out in 2015.
Like, who hasn't mentioned their games?
Oh, Dan.
Yeah. Pathologic is coming out in 2015. It's a re-release of IFP Logis, game released back in, what was it, 2002? Something like that? No, wait, 2004. And it's kind of a surrealistic game. They're going to make HD versions of it for Linux, Mac, Windows, and then PS4 is like an Xbox One. And I'm really looking forward to that. So that's a game that really stands out even today. Like back then, it was so indie, and
what
they
game
were
is
pretty,
that?
Pathologic.
Pathologic. Never heard of that.
I recommend you check it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of drab to play, but it's interesting.
Okay.
And especially if you think if you're more informed, like history and art, probably.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got like a really intricate story and it's so vague. Anyways, but yeah, so that one's coming out, and that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. Moving on.
It never came to North America.
It didn't? Oh,
no.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I'll just have to pirate it, I guess.
Yeah, do that.
It's the only way to get it.
I don't know if they're going to release the new version in America. It wouldn't surprise me, though.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, considering the platforms.
I'll definitely look into it.
But, what I was going to say is, not that history is going to repeat itself one for one, like in a one for one ratio, but, like, obviously people were a bit annoyed at, like, the way the launch worked. But I feel like the launch and... I don't know, like the inevitable process reminds me of the 360 launch. Like the 360 launch, what did we have? We had like Perfect Dark Zero, Cameo, a Madden game that wasn't very good. You know what I mean? It wasn't a great launch. But then the next year we had games like The Darkness, Prey, stuff like that. Those games were, you know, getting more interesting.
Wait,
then the
do
year
you mean
after
like
that.
2007?
2006. 2006 was like The Darkness, etc.
Okay.
And then 2007, we
got. That was the year.
Yeah, that was the year we got Call of Duty 4, Halo 3, etc. right? So I feel like that's what's going to happen. Like 2015 is going to be the year that finally the next gen like grows
Super
into
Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah. That came out in 2007.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think it was. Yes, you're right. It was.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Assassin's Creed 2, I think. Oh no. No, that's wrong. That's 2009.
Yeah, 2007 is when 60 got going. And so did PS3, and I feel like 2015 is when current. I mean, to be fair, like there's some decent games coming out so far for like everything, including Wii. Obviously, Wii U got Bayonetta. You know, other consoles got Shadow of Mordor. Then there's like, you know, there's going to be AC Unity, Call of Duty, etc. And then obviously 2015, we have all the games we've mentioned. So I think, like, you know, if you've been, and this is kind of to our listeners, if you've been hesitant to get a next gen console, well, you might want to consider it now because. It by the end of next year, you're gonna wish you had one. That's what it happened.
Yeah,
yeah. This year, there's not much that's exclusive to current gen, but by next year, I think most of the games won't be cross gen. It seems.
True. That's what's like so crazy to me. I mean, right now, I'm basically like buying and playing all of the like 360 games I never had a chance to because I know next year there's no point. Like,
there's a weird.
Get an Xbox One.
There's a weird rumor, though, that the next Gears of War is going to be cross-gen. I can't say I believe that.
That's great.
Yeah, me neither.
Because that game probably won't be out until 2016 or 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, really aren't Microsoft still in possession of that trademark?
Yeah.
They are. I mean, cross-gen after 2015 will be weird. I mean, halfway through 2015... just seems strange to me. I almost feel like this winter will probably be the last winter of cross-gen games for the most part.
Yeah.
So it seems strange that they would decide to do that. In fact, I was surprised most of this winter's games are cross-gen, like Shadow of Mordor, Alien Isolation, Call of Duty, like all of those are cross-gen, which I was surprised at, but it's nice. In fact, thinking about it, even Persona 5, that's going to be PS3 and PS4, but I feel like it's not going to be for long.
Hopefully Vita as well. I'm holding out.
Not expecting that.
It might be. You know what? It's Persona. It probably will be.
Yeah. I mean, the Vita's still doing well in Japan.
Yeah. Just let it go. The Vita's not happening, Gabe.
It is. It's happening.
It is happening. I'm enjoying it right now. You know, playing Final Fantasy X on it, but still.
The contempt people have for Vita in general is just funny to me because it's like, I have nothing against the console, but I ain't going to lie. It's not necessarily the best console to be out, like, you know,
I just want competition in the dedicated handheld space because without it, Nintendo has no real incentive to do anything innovative.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's probably the only reason why we have the new 3DS.
I mean, yeah. But isn't it also that handhelds are dealing with mobile now, like as a mobile phone?
Yeah, that's a part of it. That's a huge problem because
I mean, think about
for
it.
For the
like,
most part, mobile games are complete garbage.
True,
like
but now we're actually
of
getting
them are awful.
I mean, no, but the thing is that, like, I mean, no, you know what that is, though? That's just by numbers alone. It's because there's so many, like, Bejeweled clones and Flappy Bird clones. But,
to be fair, I want to play real games on the go.
Yeah, like, to be fair, it's more and more phones are having the graphical capabilities to play, like, full games, which is pretty interesting. Like, they can play, like, Game Advance style games, for example.
They can, but the developers don't take advantage of it. And that's the issue at hand.
That's true. But obviously, we have stuff like all of the freemium games, some of which are good, some of which are,
not so good. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I love Bubble Witch Saga 2, but I don't know if I love it because it's a great game or because it's fooled me. It is. Because I have never liked the whole, like, you have to wait to play again thing.
Yeah.
And I don't like how the gamers rely on boosters to get anywhere, but it's like, the game's fun enough. That's okay, right? I'm enjoying this, right?
Right? Right, guys? Oh, my God.
That respect, definitely. Oh, go ahead.
Guys, I've just been reading up on this Dragon Ball Xenoverse game.
Yeah?
Okay.
Good news. It's not that interesting.
I know it's not. I just hope it's good.
Fights can be up to 3v3. Okay. New world setup. I clocked that once. I'd stop. The world would start to tick. Okay. Original battles. Okay. Customer character. Okay. This actually is quite cool. Character customization. Players will have a wide variety of customization options, including physical features from the Earthling. What the fuck? Margin. The fuck? Namekian. No. Freezer races. No. Saiyan. There we are. Wait, that's all you're going to play. You're going to be playing...
What's wrong with the Namekian? What's wrong with...
Because Namek did so fucking well and survived so clearly, didn't it? Yeah, oh, wait,
I'm definitely going to be a Margin.
It got blown in half. Why would you be a Margin?
Because I love Boo. He's amazing.
Listen to this.
He's so adorable and evil.
Gabe, listen to this. Become an apprentice. Custom characters will be able to become the apprentices of characters from the original Dragon Ball characters to gain their special moves and costumes. So everyone is going to be Goku... Learn Spirit Bomb. There we go.
Who would use anyone? Why did they put Saiyan in there? That was a stupid move, if you ask me, because no one's going to play anything else.
Everyone will start with, like, let's be Frieza's race, and then they'll like just think, actually, this sucks, I'll be a Saiyan again.
Look, I'll be a Namekian just to stick out. Just why not?
Yeah, no. Don't do
it. We should do a B10, like, Let's Play when that game comes out. like,
cool.
The stream or whatever.
So there's like four of us. It's like, who'd you choose? I chose the Saiyan again. Yeah, me too.
No, is the game for PC?
It's the first Dragon Ball main fighting game for PC. Just really cool.
So it is PC then. Oh yeah, that's fair enough. That's interesting. But admittedly,
it's not just PC though. It's PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One.
Microsoft Windows and Steam. So there you go. You can play it regardless. Xbox 360. To be fair, it's coming out on current gen, so yeah. It's probably going to have a lot of people buy it just because it's on current gen.
True. Yeah, that's most of the reason I want it, but I hope it's like an older Dragon Ball game, just with, you know, revamped graphics or whatever.
Well, it's by DIMP, so it's an entirely 3D fighting game, once you're reading it, so it's essentially Tenkaichi Budokai.
I hope so.
It'll look really good. But I like that, fights would be up to 3 versus 3. It'd be really cool if you could do, like, 3 people versus 3 people. That'd be quite cool.
Like, team. That does sound cool.
Yeah. That's why it would be really fun for us to do as a group.
Some of the players in it are quite cool as well, because you've got, like, the majority of the Ginyu Force. Because, you know, like, all the cult characters everyone loves.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I didn't know much about it, but that sounds interesting now.
Yeah, this is actually, to be fair, this is sounding more and more interesting, especially as... like, to add in more characters, they got Mira. You know, Mira's not being from the Dragon Realm. And one of the two main villains in the computer game, Dragon Ball Online, and also a major villain in Xenoverse. So they've actually got a new character for it. Well, kind of new character. Which will definitely make it more interesting. Because I'd get annoyed if they just did the same shit that they did every other time, which is you just play through the series again. It's quite annoying when you do that.
Yeah, it's like an alternate plot as well.
So. I wonder if they've got Tarbles in it. You know, like Vegeta's brother who showed up years later.
Oh, right. That would be, I don't know. That'd be interesting. It'd be a nice little Easter egg for, like, long-time fans.
They've got an awesome character called the Supreme Kai of Time. What a fantastic name.
What? That's
yeah, Supreme Kai of Time. She wears high heels and looks like she doesn't take shit from anyone. That's my new character.
The question I was going to ask is that, and this is a general question to everyone. Like, what do you think of? Because my friend mentioned this. What do you think of the notion that the next gen consoles will never really dip that low in price? Like, they'll never really hit the 200. Like, what do you think of that?
I don't think that the Xbox One will ever be available for £200. Just gonna go ahead and say it now. I don't think you'll be able to buy an Xbox One for £200 as long as it's current gen. Because the prices of games consoles are increasing, and like. That's the one thing that games companies are banding together on, the fact that they do not want to go below a certain like level price wise.
Yeah, but like the Xbox 360 and PS3 are $200 right now, at least in the States, I don't know.
Yeah, but they're not.
Yeah, they're roughly £100 here, so yeah, £150 or above.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Xbox One and PS4? Or are we talking about...
No, I'm saying 360 PS3, like 100.
Oh, right. Oh, it gives a shit. Hand them out in cereal boxes. It gives a fuck. We moved on.
Towards the end of this generation, people are going to be saying the same thing about Xbox One and PS4.
Well, that's what I mean. As long as Xbox One and PS4 are the actual current generation...
Oh, okay.
They're not going to dip that low.
I mean, technology is going to move along anyway, and you're going to have more and more production. The production is just going to get bigger and bigger, and the units that they need in the consoles are going to get cheaper and cheaper. So that'll probably kind of, you know, stream our way or make it easier for us to have more affordable consoles. And they're obviously going to have be competing with each other. I mean, that's an essential component in the console space.
Yeah, I mean, and also the price of Xbox One and PS4 games, oh my god. Like, at launch anyway, like, the price is on another level.
Wait,
I mean,
really?
Fair
Are
enough.
They different there?
No, because an Xbox game on launch will be like 40, like 40 yeah. pounds, but Xbox One games are like 50, it's ridiculous. I mean, I know the 10 extra crit, but still, like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's, there's no difference here between the
They're both
60.
Lucky.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't know why it's like 10 pounds extra. I mean, some games aren't, and obviously some Xbox One games that are starting to get old are going down in price, as every game does. For example, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition is like 20 pounds, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh god, it's just, some of the prices at launch are a bit heinous, but what can you do about it? It's just, I don't know, I want it to reach that point. It's probably going to happen next year, where it's like, it's so current gen, you need to own one. Like, we've been, you know, we've been on the 360 PS3 generation for, what is it, 7 years, I think?
It's no, like no. 8 or 9, it's 9 next year.
Yeah, like, we've been on it for 7 years, right? It's like, that's a long time. Of course it's going to be hard to let go of it, because I feel like the reason why this generation lasted so long is because the 360 and PS3 were the most adaptable console. They didn't just start out as one thing and stay that way for the next 5 years and then we had to upgrade. Like, we could do so much with it because they were practically PCs. We could give it apps. We could give it entertainment features. We could update the dashboard. We could give it new firmware, etc. That's why they lasted so long, in my opinion, because they, like everything else, phones, computers, are easily, like, you know, updatable. But for us to move on, like, it has to hit the point where there's enough games on Xbox One and PS4, and there's just enough of a reason to get it. I think that's going to happen next year, definitely. But yeah. It's like, for me, I'm just wondering, will it ever dip in price? Like, past 300?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely dip in price towards the end of its lifespan, similar to what the PS3...
But for now, it won't.
I don't think it will for now. The consoles released, at least the PS4, released at a much lower price here than the PS3 did when it launched.
$600, yeah. I remember that.
$600, yeah. You gotta get a second job, Sony said.
Hey. Absolutely.
That's what
insane.
They actually said at E3. I can't believe that. But,
now, basically, both the Xbox One and the PS3 are both 400, if I'm correct. PS4, sorry. Xbox One and PS4
yeah,
both
are 400 now.
And yeah, in the UK, they're both 330, 340. So, okay. You know, roughly the same.
And Wii U is 300. What is it there? Do you know?
230, I think.
Okay.
So it's just like a little bit less.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, so I think those are, you know, those are reasonable-ish prices, and there's enough games to get them now at this point. Plus, there's also, I mean, you may, you know, don't get me wrong, you're never going to hear me say this again, but there's a ton of awesome indie games, too, to consider. Like, we've been talking about mainstream games, but there's a lot of indie games that are not only on the Xbox One and PS4, but there's a lot of indie games that are coming, too. There's a lot to look forward to. For example, if you have a PS4 or Vita, you can buy Velocity 2X, which I think looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And does Transistor count as an indie game?
Yeah.
Yeah, Transistor's indie. Yeah. It's only like three people working on that.
Yeah, so there you go. So like, there's like, if you are waiting in between, you know, big AAA releases, there's old gen ports like, you know, Tomb Raider, Diablo 3. And then you have indie games like, you know, Transistor, Velocity 2X. And then within next couple of months, we'll get bigger games. So I think there isn't a better time to get a next-gen console. By the way, I'm not, like, sponsored or anything, full disclosure.
Yeah. I think you just sold me, Patrick.
Patrick
is
a sellout.
I'm going to go buy a Microsoft trademark Xbox One.
No, I just realized the way I was talking, like, this stuff, I'm trying to sell people something, aren't I?
Well, it doesn't help that you're wearing like a red and white candy striped blazer and a straw hat. Monorail! Turn it out.
Oh my god.
But no,
so, how long do you think these consoles will last, though? Do you think they'll last as long as last generation?
Sorry, no. I know you talk about the current generation, but I literally just took that as you're like, so how long do you think this whole video game console thing will hang around? This whole video game stick.
Video games are a fad.
Again.
No, but,
when do you think the second crash is going to take place?
The year 2000.
How long will they last? That's a good question. Because the thing is, these next-gen consoles seem even more malleable than the 360 and PS3. So How long?
Oh, on consoles has changed. Like, as gamers now, we no longer look to like the idea of trying to find something exciting as being the you know, with the notion of we get a new console and it has stronger potential. Now it's a case of we can fit so much more into the average game disc and so much more into the online experiences, and there's so many ways to update and constantly renew and reinvest our money into more games and to more gaming technology using the same console. It's really the same for me as like people who buy a PC for PC gaming. You don't need to upgrade that PC exactly because you have access to the games. I can't see Microsoft particularly looking to bring out a new console while they can still update this one as much as they can.
Sure. My only, not concern, but right, my only thing is that, like, are the consoles so malleable that they could easily update to fit the next big medium? And I mean, I'm saying that, like, what if
it
in the next...
It depends what that
like,
is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, hypothetically speaking, what if in the next 3 years something gets invented called Blacklight? I don't know. I just pulled something out of my hat. Let's just call it Blacklight. It's the next entertainment
medium.
Why does
that have to be black?
Look, let me just...
Why are you going to be that guy, Patrick?
Couldn't virtual reality and Oculus Rift be that?
Well, maybe. But, like, so let's just say, yeah, it comes out, it's got whatever name, right? It has a ton of space, right? It has a ton of features, like, it's practically its own... let's just basically say it's like a mini computer, right? And it allows you to do so many things. How would the current consoles be able to adapt to that? Because that, let's just say that's the next step in digital entertainment. I don't know if the consoles could be able to adapt to that. Like, would they have to, one, start, you know, reselling the consoles to fit the new spec? Or would they just say, okay, we'll have to deal with that next gen? But when would next gen be? 10 years from now?
I don't know.
I'm expecting something like 7.
You think it's going to be 7 years?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like 5 to 7. I think it's going to be as long as last time.
I generally think we're going to be out of this decade when a new console comes out by Microsoft.
You think so? I mean, there's also a theory that this gen is the last gen for actual consoles.
Yeah, I don't think that's even
we're gonna
theorized anymore.
We're going to reach the singularity, Gabe.
I think a strong like reminder of the importance of consoles is the fact that for the new Smash Bros. On Wii U, Nintendo are releasing an adapter that lets you plug in the GameCube pad.
GameCube controller, yeah.
And that's always, to me, because that's like a decade old. That, in fact. That, to me, is the console fan base, represented through Nintendo fans in this case, but the console fan base saying, we liked how it was, and we just want to keep improving that as opposed to move away from it together.
I mean, it's interesting because other than the Wii U gamepad and the Wii U nunchuck and remote, you can just buy the Wii U Pro controller, which looks like a 360 controller to play Smash with. But obviously, because they know Smash fans are huge fans of the GameCube controller, they brought the adapter. So you're right. Even the classic Wii controller kind of looks like an older Nintendo controller. So you're right about that.
I just hope they bring back the Wave Bird.
The Wave Bird was so cool.
Yeah.
The Wave Bird. I remember when I got my Wave Bird. Everyone was
it's
like,
compatible.
Hey, borrow that. I was like, no.
Is it?
It's compatible with the adapter.
Nice. Yeah, awesome.
Skippy it is. Although my friend Mason, who, if he's listening to this, is a fucking felon. Mason broke my Wave Bird.
Wow.
He broke it. My Wave Bird.
But, Yeah, well, I mean, the whole idea of consoles reaching a singularity and we won't actually have like hard copy consoles anymore or hard copy discs anymore, maybe not now. Maybe not like in the immediate future. Maybe in the far future, but I don't know about like...
How long until all of our games just become broken up pieces of DLC? Like Resident Evil Revelations 2.
No, but hey, that's episodic, man. That's the way you said that, like... I know it's Capcom, but still.
That's how it makes me feel, this game.
I wouldn't be surprised if you actually saw something like that.
To be honest, they're riding the wave, though. They're riding the whole, you know, Telltale wave with the episodic.
Yeah, but it's different because Telltale games have always been episodic. And,
true.
Resident Evil Revelations 1 was a full retail game on the 3DS.
Revelations, you mean? Yeah, that is true.
And this one's not even coming to 3DS at all, which is sad to me.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right about that. But in terms of the whole idea of a singularity with, like, no more consoles and we just buy content from different publishers through, like, a machine or even, you know, just a TV, we have a controller, Maybe. Yeah. Obviously, there have been attempts to do this with stuff like OnLive, but even then, OnLive is still a service. Same with Steambox or whatever.
And PlayStation Now.
Get something like, you know, not needing consoles. I mean, and also, if the, you know, if E3 last year is any indication, yeah, we're gonna keep the way of things for a long time, let's be honest.
Yeah, the consoles have been really successful. I was surprised by it, because I thought consoles were going away as well. I guess I just got sucked into the media hype, but of moving to mobile, which, eh, leaves a bad taste.
I don't know.
Bad taste.
It could still slow in. Like, I'm not sure, but like, give it another 2 years, and when they reach the 30 million mark, then I'll be like, okay.
Yeah,
you're right.
I mean,
PS4 is doing really well now.
But, yeah.
We don't know how it'll do down the road. That might have just been people ready to move on, and maybe the rest aren't.
I'm just wondering that in terms of hardware, I mean, I know everyone says this, like, can it get any better than this? Obviously, I made that whole joke about we find, like, the blacklight technology or whatever, but what is the next step? Because currently we're on Blu-ray, that's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
But what comes after that?
All digital.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
All digital. Like, so everything's going to be cloud-based.
Yeah.
Amazing. But, I mean, as long as they make it fast, like, downloads are fast, and there's enough space to... Because I think that's the problem right now. Downloads and storage space.
Yeah, I hope they come with 4 terabyte hard drives.
I mean, because, like, aren't games like 50 gigabyte installs or something?
Oh, God, I don't even talk about
the Master Chief Collection's 20 gigabyte update.
I'm currently using 48% of my fucking hard drive storage.
Oh wait, does the Xbox One need to install disks?
Yeah, every game needs to be installed.
But it's not that much.
Hey James, install this disk before you can have fun. I didn't pay.
Yeah, how much space does each Xbox One game take? Like, I guess there's not like
this is just biased based on the fact that I get a new game and then I want to play it, but I have to update first. So based on that, I'd say the length to install, like, a disc is about 4,000 years.
Yeah. That's accurate.
Maybe 4.5, depending on.
For disc games. I'm not talking about, like, digital release games, because that's, like, full size, but I'm saying if you buy a disc Xbox One game, like, what's the install size?
It's all the full size.
Say what?
It's the same size as the,
So you're still installing the full game?
Yeah, you're still installing the full game, I believe. Mm. They're really large.
Interesting.
Yeah. It just takes less time because you're not actually downloading the file. It's loading off the disk.
Maybe that's like a leftover from their idea of, you know, having this full online integration.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it really take a long time, like, the entire day?
No. Not if you actually have the disc. It takes the entire day if you download it.
Yeah, I remember like trying to install Metal Gear Solid 4 on PlayStation 3 while downloading Final Fantasy 13, I think it was. It took me like 8 hours.
Yeah. PS3 times I've heard have been pretty nuts. But in terms of Xbox One or PS4 in general, I guess that is something to consider.
It's cool.
And to be fair, it's starting to happen to 360 and PS3 games like GTA 5, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty Ghosts. All of those have installs now. We're reaching that point where the graphical content is starting to exceed the hardware, it seems.
Yeah. On a lot of the games on Xbox One, you can actually start the game before it completely installs.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty neat feature.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I think that's definitely quite cool. But, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, all the 360 PS3 games that require installs these days. Like, mandatory installs, but, like, they might have, like, an extra disc or extra content that you have to install. Like, GTA 5, for example. Like, and it might be something like a texture pack or something. Like, a texture pack or some sort of patch or something. Or audio content in the case of certain games. Which is fine. I'm not saying it's a problem. You know, I'm just saying that it's interesting that that's the point we've reached, at least with last gen. With current gen, the installs are more for... I mean, what are the installs for anyway? That's what I want to know. Like, for Xbox One and PS4, why do you have to install it? I don't know.
I don't have that answer. I have no idea.
I mean, because can it just not run off the disc? Like, does it have to be on the hard drive?
I feel like it could like technologically it can run off the disk. I don't know what the setback is there. Do you have to install it on PS4 as well? You guys know?
I think you do.
Yeah.
As far as I know, you do. I mean, I guess it's... Maybe it's because... Maybe either one to do with Blu-ray, or two, maybe it's just how it runs faster. Like, it, you know, it boots up quickly, yeah. And especially with Xbox One, it's how you're able to go back to dashboard while the game is still running, and then just go back and it'll just work.
Yeah. I just wish I didn't actually have to have the disc in to to run it after I installed it.
But sure, that is... That's
that, was their, that was their original plan. Yeah. Which I was, you know, I kind of agree with it now, looking back on it. And I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset with the whole... I still don't like the whole idea of being all digital, but it would have been more interesting in the console space right now if they had gone with their original idea.
Yeah.
I think we can't really go all digital until everything is just so... I don't know, everything is smooth and streamlined for everyone. Like, there's still so many problems to do with like internet connections and speeds and ISP, etc., that we're not at that point where download speeds and like cloud storage and stuff just works for everyone. I think that's why all digital just isn't there yet. Plus memory space, that's another thing. Memory space is a huge thing.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, call me old-fashioned, but I also like, I like disc copies. I just do. I just do.
Can I ask a question regarding the games that we're anticipating in 2015? Anybody here looking forward to Soma from Frictional Games?
Soma?
Or Soma, yeah.
No, I don't think I've heard of it.
You? Oh, come on. Frictional Games. It's a... like
Stroke
a
Stroke song?
Stroke song? No, a subwater station. And in the trailer, there's a man who like finds like a corpse laying beneath a sheet, and then... It has like the brain is connected to some machine, and he can like detaches the brain from the skull. You haven't seen the trailer?
Interesting. No, I haven't seen it. That sounds interesting, though.
No, it's from the Frictional Games. You know, the developers of the Amnesia franchise.
Oh, okay. They're making another game. Okay.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. And they released like teaser trailers. The concept is kind of like there are robots in this subwater facility, and they're kind of starting to have cognitive abilities. And, you know, like a self-consciousness of sorts, developing that.
Goes to the show.
Yeah, and the teasers are like live action, and they're really well made. So, yeah, it seems really, really good, and atmospheric for that matter.
Right, I mean, that sounds interesting. I think I'll probably take a look at that at some point, because I do like the whole cyberpunk angle. Although, in terms of just 2015 games, I'm really excited, but obviously, since I don't have an Xbox on right now, or a
PS4,
yeah. I
so can't... You can't play Cuphead.
I can't play it. Gabe... Seriously,
I told you I'd bring it up.
Oh God, look, I don't.
So
I don't
Patrick
care.
Isn't excited to play Cuphead.
I don't care about Cuphead. I don't look.
Cuphead is gonna be my game of the year.
Look, I don't.
It's not even on this list.
It's unique enough, sure, but I don't care. I don't. That's look. I don't. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm not saying it's gonna be terrible. I'm just saying I'm not concerned. I'm just one person. You know, full disclosure. It's just my opinion. But I mean,
like
I'm excited for a lot of
games. Classic Disney cartoon.
I think if I need to see something to get me interested, at the moment I just sort of saw it and I was just like, okay, cool concept, but not something I'm looking forward to necessarily.
Yeah.
And plus, at the same time, immediate future, I have my sights set on getting like perhaps 20 or so games for last gen that I still need to play. Right? That's
yeah,
what I want to
do.
Let
me ask you a question, Patrick, before you continue this tangent. Do you believe in magic?
I don't know why Chris is going. No,
wondering.
I don't. It's a nice concept in fiction, but in reality it doesn't exist.
Yes, it does.
It does.
I don't like for the
I'm just saying, Patrick, I'm just saying, I once saw a hat that was empty and then like out of fucking nowhere a rabbit came out of it. So
Can someone clue me in to the joke right now? I want
magic,
to laugh too.
Magic is real.
One morning I was brushing my teeth and the toothbrush was just gone. I looked away for a second. You're telling me magic isn't real, Patrick?
Can someone please let me in? I'm so scared, guys. Like, I want to know.
There's no joke.
Oh my god. What?
I'm talking about what the fuck moment.
That's the absurdity.
No, wait, was that just a literal spontaneous thing you two just did?
Yeah.
What?
You're the butt of the joke.
Oh my god. All right, fine. That's okay. I'm okay with this.
So, but, no one mentioned, notably, no one mentioned No Man's Sky, which was like really well received game at E3 this year. I wasn't really into it, but
I'm just not sure they can pull it off as being interesting throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's my main concern.
Yeah, I think, that's 100% my concern. It's like, you know, ooh, procedurally generated environments. Ooh, look at all the space travel. Ooh, look, you can go from to the ground to the sky. I'm like, okay, so what do you actually do?
Yeah, technologically, it's really impressive if they can pull it off, but still, is it fun?
Like, I mean, in none of those trailers did they tell me what I'm actually doing. Yeah. Am I taking pictures of indigenous creatures or what? Like,
my impression is just like traveling. Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you can interact with much. That's a big problem.
Exactly. I also wonder, is this going to be the kind of thing you can like team up with friends and do it? Like, cause I did talk about like sort of open world games and, MMO multiplayer being big in the next gen. I just wonder, is this going down that route where you can like meet up with people and explore worlds together?
From what I've heard, you can't find your friends because it's like an infinite universe you can't actually set up.
But I've heard that you can find planets that your friends have found. Like, you know, you go somewhere and then it gets discovered and named. And then if you connect to your friends, then you'll be like, oh, yeah, you found this creature that your friend found.
You have no friends.
That's the problem.
That's the problem I have with multiplayer games.
Gabe has no friends.
You know what? Gabe, I will actually 100% agree with you there. See, I love multiplayer games, but the honest truth is if I can enjoy a game of my own, I'm not buying it. Like, that's the honest truth.
Yeah.
And this is the issue I have with at least some of what
that was really scary. We love you, only cherish you, and now you have to die.
Yeah. I have an axe in one hand.
Oh my god.
You'll never guess what I have in the other.
The toothbrush that you lost earlier.
Wait, that's not a good combination.
I'm scared.
So, we're gonna wrap things up. Just like this dead body that's lying beside me.
Oh my god.
So yeah, goodbye everyone.
You can follow me on Twitter at TheGabeCarry. And you can follow Patrick at JusticeSolTuna, like I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
In real life and on Twitter.
Oh god.
And, Gabe Pop.
Run, Patrick, run!
And you can follow James Cameron Patrick Daily
on
Twitter at Your Daily Dosage.
And come get your daily doses, guys.
And you can hold on. And in a second, when I load up Twitter, I'm gonna find out Dan's again because I forgot it that quick.
You douchebag,
Chocolate Rumble.
Yeah.
You can follow him on Twitter at Chocolate Rumble.
That's pretty awesome, Chocolate Rumble.
He'll make your chocolate rumble.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that means. It sounds dirty.
And we'll leave it there.
Good night, B10 listeners.